The U.S. Army in Iraq, incorrect in its assumptions, lacking a workable concept of operations, and bereft of an overarching strategy, completed the job of creating the insurgency. Based on its experience in Bosnia and Kosovo, the Army thought it could prevail through presence, that is, soldiers demonstrating to the local population that they are in the area mainly by patrolling. "We've got that habit that carries over from the Balkans," said one Army general. Back then, patrols were conducted so frequently that some officers called the mission there dabbing, for driving around Bosnia. "The flaw in this approach," wrote Lieutenant Colonel Christopher Holschick, a civil affairs officer, "was that after the public opinion began to turn against the Americans and see them as occupiers, then the presence of troops becomes counterproductive." The U.S. military jargon for this was boots on the ground, or, more officially, the presence mission. There was no formal doctrinal basis for this in the Army manuals and training that prepare the military for its operations, but the notion crept into the vocabularies of senior officers. "Flood your zone. Get out there and figure it out," Sanchez ordered one of his brigade commanders at a meeting in a dusty command tent outside a palace in the Green Zone later that May. And he wanted the troops to get out there on foot. He added, "Mounted patrols tell me we are zipping through neighborhoods. I want American soldiers on the ground talking to people. Your business is to ensure that the presence of the American soldier is felt, and it's not just Americans zipping by." But what if this approach creates problems rather than solves them? In the spring and summer of 2003, few U.S. soldiers seemed to understand the centrality of Iraqi pride and the humiliation Iraqi men felt to be occupied by this Western army. Foot patrols in Baghdad were greeted during this time with solemn waves from old men and cheers from children, but with baleful stares from many young Iraqi men. More than most large organizations, the U.S. Army generally tries to confront and remedy its shortcomings. Newspapers, for example, rarely pause after covering major crises to figure out what they did right, what they did wrong, and what they should remember the next time they face a similar incident. The Army, to its credit, routinely tries to learn from such encounters, in part because of the lethality of mistakes in its line of work. It calls this the lessons learned process and incorporates the efforts in its major training maneuvers. This process even has its own office, the Center for Army Lessons Learned, or CALL, based at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, an old cavalry post perched on a bluff overlooking the Missouri River on the eastern edge of the Great Plains. In the summer of 2003, CALL sent a team to Iraq to review intelligence gathering efforts in Iraq. The team found a series of wide-ranging problems in using technology and in training and managing intelligence specialists. Younger officers and enlisted soldiers were unprepared for their assignments, did not understand the targeting process, and possessed very little to no analytical skills, the CALL team found. It said that there were 69 tactical human intelligence, human teams working in Iraq, and that they should have been producing at least 120 reports a day, but instead were delivering a total average of 30. Overall, it said, the teams lacked guidance and focus. They were also overwhelmed, and at least 15 more teams were needed. Nor did combat leaders understand how to use their intelligence specialists. Human teams and MI, military intelligence commanders, who were frustrated at the misuse of human assets by maneuver commanders, believed that combat arms officers did not understand the management and capabilities of human assets, the report said. Also, operations across Iraq were impeded by the lack of competent interpreters. Those they had were working to the point of burnout, and also were being misused. "We can no longer afford to send interpreters in support of units to buy chickens and soft drinks." Other insiders noticed additional problems. The U.S. military intelligence apparatus tended to overfocus on the role of foreign fighters, a senior Army official later noted, because those fighters tended to use telephones, email, and the internet, and thus could be monitored by signals interception. So, long sessions with top commanders would focus on the movements of four Saudi Arabian citizens, while entire tribes in the Sunni Triangle were emerging unnoticed as centers of the insurgency. The real guys weren't using phones or the internet, he said. They were based on human relationships, and so operated below the radar screen of U.S. military intelligence.